rampant TFR busts. Throw a wet blanket on an EAA event in Hagerstown. Search crews look for a caravan missing with 10 aboard. And officials ID Monday's balloon accident victim in New Mexico. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 9th, 2007. You're always supposed to check for NOTAMs before you begin a flight, and you're always supposed to be aware of where your airplane is in the airspace. Humans make mistakes, but the stakes for screwing up are much higher in the post-9/11 era. The Federal Aviation Administration says that in just 3 hours between 9 a.m. and noon local time Sunday morning, 12 planes on their way to the EAA fly-in in Hagerstown, Maryland, violated the temporary flight restriction over the Camp David Presidential Retreat and the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial in Emmitsburg. Four of those 12 were intercepted by F-16s. The FAA told the Washington Post radio contact could not be established with those planes, which is understandable since many of the antiques don't have electrical systems, let alone radios. FAA's Laura Brown reminds us, quote, pilots are supposed to check the notices to airmen that we put out that are in effect for the area, unquote. She added that the pilots involved Sunday could face suspension of their certificates. Local EAA chapter officials say the TFR has been a big part of why attendance at the event was down 80% this year. Search crews are combing the Cascade Mountains in central Washington for signs of a missing Cessna 208B caravan and the pilot and 9 skydivers thought to have been on board. Seattle's KIRO-TV reports the aircraft went missing about 8 p.m. Pacific time Sunday. A hunter told police he saw a plane flying low and heard the sounds of a crash in the White Pass area west of Yakima at the same time the plane disappeared from radar. Washington DOT says the search area has been narrowed to southwest of Rimrock Lake based on radar tracking and the witness report. The agency is coordinating the air search while Yakima County search and rescue officials are handling the ground search. Another search has ended in bad news. Crews have located the wreckage of a single-engine Belanca 7GC BC Citabria that went missing over Georgia Friday afternoon. They've also found the body of the plane's pilot, 22-year-old student pilot Kyle Boss. One resident of Baker County reportedly told search crews he saw the accident aircraft in a steep nose-down attitude. The information helped crews narrow their search, and the wreckage was found a short time later. New Mexico State Police have identified the victim in Monday's hot air balloon accident in Albuquerque as 60-year-old Rosemary Woolley Phillips of California. She reportedly fell about 60 feet from the tipped gondola of a hot air balloon participating in the city's International Balloon Fiesta, according to KOB Television. Three other California women in the gondola at the time were reported to be in satisfactory condition at the University of New Mexico Hospital. The condition of pilot Tom Reyes was not known. The balloon got stuck on a fiber optic line near an Albuquerque intersection Monday morning. Reports indicated Reyes threw a tether down for ground crews to use to free the balloon, but the tether broke, the balloon lifted off suddenly, and the basket tipped. Monday's accident was the first fatal crash during the annual fiesta since 1998, when two people were lost and 5 seriously hurt when their balloon came down on Kirtland Air Force Base south of the city. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been wading through the FAA's 100-page proposed rules for automatic direct surveillance broadcast and has raised some concerns with implementing the plan by 2020 as proposed. AOPA says the FAA would require aircraft flying above 10,000 feet MSL or within Class B or C terminal airspace to be equipped for ADS-B, facilitating a shift away from ground-based radar. President Phil Boyer noted, quote, "This represents a big cost shift for the FAA and should be considered in the funding debate that surrounds the current FAA reauthorization legislation. If they want GA pilots to spend thousands of dollars on new avionics, we need to make sure that the expenditures are considered as we assess what GA should pay in fuel taxes in the future FAA budget," unquote. The proposal mentions two kinds of service. ADS-B out would act similar to a transponder, transmitting the aircraft's position once per second. Traditional services such as flight following or radar-like vectoring in new locations would not be offered. Aircraft owners would have to install a display at an additional cost to receive the ADS-B in service, which would provide weather and traffic data to the pilot. AOPA has supported satellite navigation and ADS-B. 75% of AOPA members have said they would be willing to equip their aircraft with ADS-B if free weather and traffic information were provided, and if the equipment would replace current transponders at comparable prices. Up next on ANN, Gallo stands behind EADS execs in an insider trading investigation. United Airlines will spend $4 billion on its five-year plan. And pilots of the old U.S. Airways get set to change unions. This is Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 9th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. EADS CEO Louis Gallo says the company's management will remain focused on production and sales targets, but he admits Airbus will draw saturated media coverage while French stock regulators investigate charges of insider trading. Reuters quoted Gallo as expressing confidence in management, but also warning not to let the spotlight compromise recovery from the two-year delay in the introduction of the A380 Super Jumbo. The first customer plane is going to Singapore Airlines next week. Regulators want to determine whether executives and major shareholders knew about the second devastating delay in A380 development before they sold off stock between November 2005 and April 2006. The French government is a party to the case. Industrial shareholder Lagardère sold 2.25% of the company to the state bank. Then, when the second A380 development delay was announced, the stock's price dropped 26%. The charges add to a tense environment in which critics have already contrasted big executive bonuses and severance packages with the plight of 10,000 workers who will lose their jobs during EADS Power 8 restructuring. United Airlines CEO Glenn Tilton said Friday that the airline's third quarter is expected to produce one of the best revenue showings in the industry. Those quarterly results will be posted later this month. Tilton says UAL has a plan consisting of more than 250 initiatives, which will cost $4 billion over 5 years, support improvements for customers, employees, and shareholders, and improve revenue and efficiency. Tilton recorded a message for release to the media. Quote, "The ambition of our five-year plan is to position United to be the global airline of choice for premium customers, employees, and investors, maintaining our fundamental commitment to safety and balancing the needs of all our stakeholders. Our plan also includes unlocking the value of business units such as United Services and Mileage Plus, and contemplates the eventual consolidation of the industry and United's role in that process," unquote. To translate, Tilton is essentially confirming rumors that United is considering selling off its frequent flyer program and maintenance operation, and is still on the hunt for a merger partner. Pilots for the old pre-merger U.S. Airways appear ready to leave the Airline Pilots Association and form a new union to do battle with their colleagues who came from the America West side of the merger. America West pilots were also represented by ALPA, and longtime U.S. Airways pilots believe they were shortchanged in the new combined company's seniority rankings. The U.S. Airline Pilots Association says it will file an application with the National Mediation Board to request a vote to replace ALPA as the bargaining unit for pilots from the old U.S. Airways. The issue is further complicating the company's need to get all pilots working under a common contract so it can fully integrate what were formerly separate workforces. Boeing announced on Monday that it's sticking to its goal of delivering its first customer 787 on time, despite setbacks in its development program. The first delivery commitment for the Dreamliner is in May of next year to All Nippon Airways. Boeing Commercial Airplanes VP Randy Tinseth told Reuters that meeting the deadline will require compressing testing and certification into a six-month period. Quote, "It's an aggressive schedule, but we believe we can do it," unquote. As ANN reported, flight of the first Boeing 787 prototype, originally intended for August, likely won't occur now until at least mid-November due to supply issues with the specialized fasteners used to join the fuselage barrel sections and headaches involving systems integration on the original plane. Tinseth confirmed that Boeing needs 6 airframes in all to accommodate the 1,300 flight hours and 3,700 ground test hours needed for certification over 6 months. Construction is moving ahead with airframes 2 through 5. Still ahead, the next crew of the International Space Station heads for work on Wednesday. The Turkish government retires its Citation 5s for the new XLS. And the U.S. Coast Guard's Dolphin helicopter fleet hits 1 million hours. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 9th, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. A Soyuz TMA-11 spacecraft scheduled for launch this week from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan will carry members of the 16th International Space Station crew to their new workplace. The launch is scheduled for 9:20 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. Docking with the ISS is scheduled for 10:50 a.m. Eastern on Friday. The crew includes Commander Peggy Whitson, cosmonaut Yuri Malenchenko, and space tourist Sheikh Muzaffar Shukur. He's a Malaysian flying under contract with the Russian Federal Space Agency and will stay only until the Expedition 15 crew members head back to Earth October 21st. He'll catch a ride back with them. Whitson is 47 years old. She's on her second mission to the station. She served as a flight engineer on the Expedition 5 crew, spending almost 185 days in space in 2002. She holds a Ph.D. in biochemistry from Rice University in Houston. Malenchenko is 45, a Russian Air Force colonel, and is making his third long-duration spaceflight. He spent 126 days aboard the Russian space station Mir in 1994 and commanded the two-person ISS crew on Expedition 7, spending 185 days in space beginning in 2003. He also was a member of the STS-106 crew of Atlantis on an almost 12-day mission to the station in 2000. He's a graduate of the Kharkov Military Aviation School and the Zhukovsky Air Force Engineering Academy. Two Expedition 17 crew members are expected to arrive next spring to replace Whitson and Malenchenko. Cessna tells ANN the Turkish government has ordered two Citation XLS planes for use by the General Directorate of State Airports Authority to inspect airport navigation aids. The agency began using two Citation 5 jets in 1993. They'll be retired when the new XLSs are delivered in 2009. The XLS can make 440 knots, has a range of more than 1,800 nautical miles, climbs direct to 45,000 feet in 29 minutes, and can land on runways as short as 3,560 feet. Emir is Cessna's authorized sales rep for Turkey and assisted the plane maker in that sale. In the past 30 years, Emir has delivered more than 200 Cessna aircraft, about 40 of them Citation business jets, to government, military, and private customers in that region. The U.S. Coast Guard's fleet of twin-engine Eurocopter HH-65 Dolphin helicopters has passed its 1 million flight hour milestone, performing patrol, law enforcement, and rescue missions throughout the U.S. Eurocopter claims that from the helicopter's first delivery in 1985, HH-65s have become a key element of Coast Guard aviation, with 96 Dolphins currently based at 17 Coast Guard air stations throughout the continental U.S., Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. It was an HH-65C from the Coast Guard Air Station Barbers Point that reached the fleet's million flight hour milestone on September 20th while on a maritime medevac mission with a patient on board. All U.S. Coast Guard Dolphins have completed a conversion to the HH-65C version. that incorporates engine and system upgrades to provide more power, greater maneuverability, and increased safety margins. The upgrade was performed at the U.S. Coast Guard's Aircraft Repair and Supply Center, with American Eurocopter operating a supplemental conversion line at its Columbus, Mississippi facility. And finally, it's clear that airliner cockpits are no longer any place for personal interpretations of security rules. The BBC reports the story of former Gulf War RAF pilot Pablo Mason, who retired to fly for passenger airlines. Mason also began a fear of flying service for nervous passengers last year. Unfortunately, his recent merging of the two concepts got him fired from MyTravel following an incident on a charter flight. Mason let soccer player Robbie Savage have a look in the cockpit as part of an attempt to ease the player's fears about flying. The plane was chartered to transport the Blackburn Rovers team home from Finland. Mason explains, quote, "He knows a little more about how and why a modern airliner gets into the sky, and I think he sees the captain as being someone to trust and place his trust in," unquote. The company is having none of it. MyTravel says Mason broke anti-terrorism rules. Quote, "We have a zero-tolerance policy towards any actions which could endanger the safety of our passengers and employees," unquote. Mason responded, quote, "Yes, I broke a rule. I did interpret the rule wasn't quite as strict for a private charter, which this was. Everyone on board knew each other," unquote. Mason says he'll appeal the firing, and he has the soccer club's support. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell recaps AOPA Expo. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.